You're listening to the Smoke Meat Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Pittman. Smoke Meat is brought to you today by Joe's Underground at the corner of 8th and Broad in Augusta, Georgia, in the bottom of the Lamar Building. Such a great place to go. Jeremy and the gang make you feel like family every time you go. So make sure you go and have a great time. Remember, I goes to Joe's and so should you. That's Joe's Underground at the corner of 8th and Broad in Augusta, Georgia, in the bottom of the Lamar Building. Also sponsoring our show is the Four Points Trading Company. They make some of the greatest soy candles that I have ever seen, because I'm not a candle guy, but the first time I saw these candles and smelled them, I was hooked. Right now, I'm actually down here in the studio, and it smells like a sporting goods store because I'm burning leather, which smells just like a new baseball glove. It's great. So check them out. That's Four Points Trading Company at fourpointstradingco.com. You can put in the promo code Smoked Meat and you'll get 10% off. That way they know I sent you. And we've also got another sponsor now for the Smoked Meat Podcast. It's WW Restaurant Equipment in Thompson, Georgia. Call Blake. Great guy. I've known Blake for 40 years. One of my best friends. Man, he's got so much great stuff there. If you're a hunter, he's got everything you need to process your game. You don't need to pay nobody to do that. Get your own stuff. Have fun. Do what you want to with it. He's got cubers. He's got grinders. You name it, he's got it. And he can get it to you a pretty good price, too. Thanksgiving's coming up. He has got so many different turkey fryers and pots and baskets and you name it. Man, if you can't cook a turkey from this joint, you don't need to be cooking a turkey. You can get ice machines. You can get everything from small wares all the way up to a whole restaurant. I mean, Blake covers it all. And he's just a downright good guy. That's going to be WW Restaurant Equipment at the corner of Gordon Highway and Moose Club Road at 1894 Moose Club Road in Thompson, Georgia. Give him a call at 706-595-9511. That's WW Restaurant Equipment in Thompson, Georgia. Today on Smoked Meat, my guest is special effects guru Joe Castro. That's right. I've got him right here today, and he is going to be a great part of our Halloween spooktacular. I got a little tongue-tied there. Joe has done so many great movies. He's doing Clown Motel 2. There's just so much that he's done, and we get into a lot of that and just have a great time, and I think you will too. So everybody kick back and have a good time and listen to me and Joe get kicked off here on Smoked Meat. Hey, so how you doing today, Joe?
I'm doing pretty good, Brad. How about yourself?
Any better, I'd be twins.
Oh, excellent. That's what I want to hear.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
Oh, yeah. Been a good day so far. You know, I've gotten a couple of good interviews in and, you know, ate supper with the family and just kind of relaxing here in Georgia. How you doing out there in California?
We're doing okay today in California. My day started early, and I got up and do my regular routine and got out and got some groceries, made some lunch for my family here, and just took in a little nap. And I work in the evenings because I have a studio out in the back that my partner picks up for me, and I've been working there for about 13 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm a special effects artist, so I like to work in the evenings. I'm kind of a night owl, and I can work in late into the evenings with the music blaring and, being creative and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Man, I love loud music, and I love special effects. You have hit my heart. Yeah, definitely.
I don't know what else. I don't know what else I would be doing on this planet if I didn't do that. I mean, I've been doing it since I knew what I wanted to do at the age of 7, and I've been pursuing that ever since.
Nice.
And, I was a barista at one point, and I worked actually worked at Bill Miller's Barbecue at one point in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. All I do is slice quarter pounds of smoked brisket all day long, and I did a couple of little other odd jobs throughout my professional career, but all the time still pursuing the career of being a special effects artist.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about it, a lot of people don't understand is there's not really a school you can go to for that. I mean, there's places you can learn some basic things, but
there's special effects makeup schools that you can go to that will teach you some pretty detailed courses. But I do special effects makeup, but I also kind of more lean towards doing I do special effects, which is a much broader scope of things. You know, I can, you know, make lightning and thunder and make it rain, as well as shoot somebody in the chest or cut someone's head off or blow up a building or crash a car. I can do anything. I can pretty much have a very wide gamut of things I can do. So there are, like I said, there are schools where you can go and learn makeup effects. And I do makeup effects, but I kind of pride myself on being more of a special effects artist.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Yeah. When I was younger, I haven't gotten into the special effects part as much, but the makeup effects, I kind of taught myself that. And
okay.
I enjoy doing that. You know, I've worked at a couple of haunted houses and I've gotten to work with some really, really talented people that do that, you know, and they do it a little bit better than I ever thought of doing. But and some of the effects that they do inside the house, just, man, it's just so creative the way that they're getting it done.
Yes, yes. In fact, that was one of the primary places I began working was in 1986. Back in San Antonio, Texas, the March of Dimes and the Muscular Dystrophy Association. Even though it's a nonprofit organization, they would literally hire me to come in and design their haunted houses. This is when I was 16 years old, all the way through my senior year in high school in 1988. And I would, on paper, design the layout of the haunted house, and then I would create some of the characters in the haunted house, and then I would have they would have people from the local high school drama departments come in and volunteer their time to play characters. And I had a good friend of mine named Paul Matrison and my friend Rudy Bali and my friend Gilbert Roses that would come and help me also coordinate and put together the haunted house and paint the faces and whatnot. But this was stuff that I was doing, like I said, when I was 16, 17, 18. And it's funny because I see a lot of the stuff that I created and invented implemented now as a regular Halloween attraction kind of thing. And this, of course, it's been mimicked and mutated in so many different ways since then. But that's where I kind of got my start as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's cool. I love doing it because I say you had so much to your films and any projects that you do, because I mean, like right here in my basement where I'm at now in my studio, I've got some lights in here, you know, some different stage lighting and that kind of stuff, but that's about it. You know, it's mainly for me. But you know, if I were to call you and say, Joe, I'm going to work on this project down here in about 3 weeks or however much lead time you need, I need this place to pretty much be this, you know, you're the guy that can make it that. And that's the great part. Like I say, the lightning, the thunder, the, you name it.
That's right. That's what we do as a special effects artist. Yep. Mm-hmm. We make everything you can and cannot imagine come true.
Yeah. And the fact that you're able to do it, and I know you probably use some CGI because, I mean, that's just where everything kind of goes, but I like the fact that there are still people out there that, you know, want to use normal special effects, and because you just can't replace that.
That's right. Practical effects will always be my go-to, my favorite thing to do, because it's just, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it, out there. It just comes with it has its own power and its own feel and its own look. It cannot be duplicated with CGI.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the difference between something cooked and something smoked, right? Like cooked brisket in an oven or smoked, you can't duplicate smoked meat out of a barbecue grill.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? If that makes any sense at all.
It makes a lot of sense. Like I said, name of the show, Smoked Meat. So it makes a lot of sense to me.
That's right. Yeah.
But yeah. I've looked at, the IMDb, and of course, everybody looks at those when they're doing their homework. And, I think one of my favorite things, you have worked for Troma.
Well, I worked with Lloyd Kaufman on a movie called The Barn 2 recently that he is one of the stars of. Mm-hmm. And Troma distributed a movie that I directed back in 1997, 1998. It was when they distributed the film, and it's called The Legend of the Chupacabra. Lloyd is one of the filmmakers that I look up to and that I have a very close personal relationship with now. Because he has influenced so many filmmakers all over the world and influenced so many independent filmmakers to continue chasing and pursuing their dreams and making them real. And, he makes independent filmmakers feel appreciated and loved and important. And that's a real amazing gift to have, to be able to do that.
Yeah, definitely. And he has done.
I just sent you a picture of one of the something I made for a haunted house on Messenger. To take a look at, and that this isn't from my high school days, but this is about 10 years afterwards because I've been working on and off for a while on haunted houses. But that was something that happened down in San Antonio. It was all in San Antonio. San Antonio had a huge haunt season.
Oh man, that is
that Gordon is Wise.
Awesome. Is that a real tank top that it's wearing? Or no, I'm just, is amazing, man.
That they contracted me to make that giant screaming head.
That is beautiful. Yeah. I am in awe. I am definitely in awe of that. See, I don't have the gift where I could make something like that. I can think of it, I can describe it, but getting it on paper and actually making it come to life, that's one of the gifts I don't have. And I hate that because that is amazing. I mean, just, man, I'm looking at it again. I love the eyes.
Well, thank you very much. I think I built that thing in my parents' and my parents' place there in San Antonio, and actually in Helotes, Texas, which is about 25 minutes northwest of San Antonio, mm-hmm. where I was born and raised on my father's goat ranch. And my family had a big piece of property there where I grew up and made home horror movies, VHS. And I went to high school there. And then when I was 19 years old, I moved out to Los Angeles where I basically been ever since, except for a period of 3 years where I went back home and came back out here with my partner, Steven Escobar, and we live out here in Hollywood where we make films and work in the entertainment industry work with our friends and peers. And, I have basically made new friends and new family. I have basically people that are closer to me than my own blood relatives out here. It's been a great adventure. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, it's weird going from one place to the other, especially to, follow your dreams because, we're kind of in that situation. We moved from the town where both me and my wife grew up in and our kids, only town they ever knew. We're right here below Atlanta. And starting over just feels so weird.
When I came out here, with a friend of mine from high school, he gave up three months in, he gave up and drove home. Mm-hmm. He didn't like it at all. And, I stayed and, I had 9 roommates the first year I lived in Los Angeles,
Holy
of
crap.
People from, from Texas that came out and stayed with me to see if they could make it work. And it was either me or them. I don't know which one when it was, but we didn't get along. It didn't work out. Ellie wasn't what they thought it would be, or was too tough for them. Mm-hmm. Just wasn't what they expected. And I had already had some sort of connection with LA by the time I came out here the first time. I won a national special effects makeup contest from a magazine called Monsterland Magazine. Mm-hmm. So I had already had some connections with some different people in the industry, and I think I had an easier introduction than most of my peers that came out here to work. But I still have one of my best friends from high school lives like 4 miles from us here in the San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles, and he works in the entertainment industry, and he has a very successful career. He's a travel agent to the stars, and he gets live in Hollywood and kind of do all the Hollywood stuff as well, which is a lot of fun. And it's a real special place to be. And especially if you're chasing a dream you'll get there, but only if you keep going, you can never give up. You just got to keep going.
Yeah. That's one common thread that a lot of my people that I've talked to have is, when I ask them for advice, I say, keep going, do not stop. You got to keep it going. You have to just not give up on your dreams because you're the only one that's going to make them. And that's pretty important. Because if you don't have dreams, there's nothing. Everybody's got a dream. And some people may say, I'm good. I'm happy where I'm at. You may be happy, but there's always something more.
Right. Always. Well, I think a lot of people settle,
Yeah.
They settle for, a lot of people don't have the capability of living in the unknown.
Yeah.
Which is what it really takes to pursue a dream. Or a career in a field that is unstable and uncertain and self-supporting in that you are your own boss and you have to, you have to make your own breaks. You have to motivate yourself. You have to, you're the person who's, you are responsible for your successes and your failures, mm-hmm. Nobody else.
Yeah.
And so it takes a lot for some people to continue to pursue a career like mine in a creative field year after year, decade after decade. In fact, I'm in my 39th year. I've been working in this field for 39 years, this field of uncertainty, I have no regrets whatsoever. Mm-hmm. None. I am very, knock on wood, but I made a promise to my father when I was 18 years old that I would. He literally stopped me on the front porch one day as I was coming in the house and he was going out of the house. And he put his hand on my shoulder and looked me straight in the eye and he said, son, promise me that you will never stop chasing your dreams. And I made a promise to him. I said, sure, yes, Dad, I will never stop chasing my dreams. That was before I got in the car to drive out here to L.A. for the first time. Mm-hmm. And so my father passed away in 97. But I've upheld that promise to him. I will never stop. Because he was one of the most amazing men I have ever met in my entire life, if not the most amazing man I've ever met in my entire life. And he must have known something that I didn't know. He knew what it would take to make me be happy and to live a happy life. And I think that's all he really wanted for me.
Yeah, that's all any of us want for our kids. I mean,
yeah.
I've got two girls. I've got a 19-year-old and a 17-year-old, and my entire goal in life right now is just to make it where they can be successful and happy.
Successful and happy, yep.
And, I tell them everything I'm doing, I do for you. And they don't quite get that right now, but I know one day when they have kids, they will, because I didn't get it when my dad told me that stuff.
Some it takes longer than others, I guess. I'm still learning. I'm still learning myself.
Oh, yeah.
But I understand. Yeah.
Yeah. So are you ready to go on ahead and go on out and start filming The Clown Motel 2?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're a lucky dog.
I'm going to be working on Clown Motel 2, which is basically, which is the sequel to my knowledge, the most successful horror clown movie of the past two decades, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Maybe there was another clown movie before the 2000s, but Clown Motel is, in my opinion, the most successful clown horror movie since I've been alive that I know of, which involved clowns and killer clowns and ghosts of clowns and the clown sensation. I'm so honored to be a part of the production. Clown Motel is one of the real proud achievements I have in my career. Mm-hmm. And that's because it's made with so much love and care and understanding for filmmaking. The men and women that created the first one solely made it to create something entertaining. And that's what movies are about. If you're, you know, like the biggest crime a movie can commit is to be boring.
Yeah.
And Clown Motel is anything but boring. The first one is so entertaining.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to Clown Motel 2, Death Do Us Part.
Yeah. I'm ready for it to come out already. And it's just in the beginning. But Joseph Kelly, you know, I've talked to him, and man, just like I say, this isn't just a production. It's a family thing almost.
It is. You know, I got a chance to create all the digital effects. I didn't get a chance to do any of the practical effects mm-hmm. in the first one, but I did do all the digital stuff, which I really enjoyed. But I get to also do the practical stuff in this one as well, some practical stuff. So I'm looking forward to being able to do both practical and digital on this one.
Nice.
And that's when I really shine, when I get to do the practical, but then I get to go into post-production and clean up or enhance what I've done, on set mm-hmm. and with my digital work as well. I went to school back in 2010 to learn CGI. I took a motion graphics program here at Video Symphony in Burbank, California, and really helped accelerate what I do to a whole new level as far as being able to create like a new look to my work, mm-hmm. Being able to kind of incorporate stuff that I wouldn't normally be able to incorporate with just practical, and being able to finesse stuff and add a whole new set of tools to the illusion of special effects.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, the only word of advice I can give you is if you've been on that set, you already know this, don't eat the ham.
Don't eat the ham.
Yeah.
Yep.
I just interviewed Johnny from there, and you know, we had a good discussion about the ham. We don't eat the ham.
Don't eat the ham. Yep. That's for sure. Yeah. I won't eat the ham after Johnny's touched it.
Oh, no.
No. I'm looking forward to working with Tony Moran.
Yeah.
On that film. Joseph has honored me with the gift of being able to create special effects for, I'm not going to say what's going to happen, but to be able to work with Tony Moran and with special effects, which would be kind of a dream come true. And I had a couple of directors honor me with stuff like that. Justin Seaman is directing The Barn 2 at this moment, and they're actually in the final stages of it. It'll be done shortly. But I created the three villains for the film and got to work with Ari Levin from the original Friday the 13th on that movie. Mm-hmm. And that was very cool. And Linnea Quigley and then Thomas Churchill. I worked on a film with him last year called Big Freaking Rat, which is going to come out shortly.
Yeah, and I got to work with Felissa. Thomas.
Yeah, Felissa Rose is in that film. And I also got to work with Thomas on a movie titled The Amityville Harvest, mm-hmm. Where I got to work with Sadie Katz on that film.
Sadie is so wonderful. Yeah. I love Sadie.
And just on and on, a plethora of movie stars and people that are kind of like dreams come true to work with them. But probably one of the biggest accomplishments last year was the release of a movie that my partner, Steven Escobar, and I produced and wrote and directed. And Thomas was also involved in it. But Manu Iturami was one of the lead stars in that film. And, of course, Brink Stevens, a screen queen with over 200 feature film starring credits. Mm-hmm. And Brink is one of my best, all-time, was one of my best friends, and I consider her family. She stars in it, and Manu Iturami was on Star Trek Voyager, and it's a science fiction horror film that we directed. To have someone from the Star Trek franchise in our movie, in our first science fiction horror film, was a real honor and one of those bucket list moments. So, and I look forward to working with Manu again when we produce. The title of the film was Xenophobia, mm-hmm. which if you look up the definition of xenophobia, one of the definitions is the fear of aliens or anything alien, you know, from out of this world, aliens, extraterrestrials. And so we're looking forward to making Xenophobia 2. And I'm going to have Brink and Manu back in that one as well. And it was a whole cast of people that were amazing in the film that I was honored to work with. Yeah.
I'll tell you, man, like I say, when you're doing what you love, you're not really working a day in your life.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's not. It's not a job if you love what you do. Love what you do.
Yeah.
We're getting ready to start we haven't announced it yet, but it's going to happen hopefully like within a week or so. I don't know. I can't even tell you exactly when. I want it to be soon. But we're going to get ready to do a crowdfunding campaign for Terror Tunes 4. That's Terror Tunes. And Tunes is spelled T-O-O-N-S, like cartoons. And it's a franchise that my partner, Steven Escobar, and I own. And it's a movie about it's live-action killer cartoons. And we're in our fourth one right now. We're getting ready to release the fourth one. And we're going to do a crowdfunding campaign to get the fans, to allow the fans to become involved in the movie and to be in the movie with movie stars like Linnea Quigley from the original Return of the Living Dead, Brink Stevens, Billy Butler from Friday the 13th Part 7, and Tom Savini's remake of Night of the Living Dead is in it, and Debbie Rashan is in it. And just a whole list of movie stars are in it. So we're gonna start that campaign very shortly and allow people to get involved, be producers, act in the movie, help me create special effects scenes, and just really get involved and be a part of a once-in-a-lifetime experience to a truly original franchise, Terror Tunes. If you've never heard of it, you can check out the first three in the series on Amazon Prime.
I've seen those on Amazon Prime.
Yeah. Yep. We shot the first movie for $2,300 on a weekend here in the San Fernando Valley almost 20 years ago. And since then, like I said, it spawned three sequels, and it has a very large, continuing growing fan base. And the fans really love it. They really, really love this franchise. It's because if you watch it, you know, it's not for everybody. You have to be a real connoisseur of this kind of thing to watch it. It has its own original style that doesn't mimic anything. And in fact, the closest thing I could say it represents or that it mimics or that it is like is Adult Swim. If you've ever seen any of the programming on Adult Swim, which is the nighttime programming for the Cartoon Network. Some of the stuff on there is kind of crazy and wild, stuff you've never seen before. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the audience and the genre and the style that this movie is similar to.
Very cool.
But we started this, we made the first one almost 20 years ago, long before Adult Swim was ever on the air. Mm-hmm. So if anything, I see a lot of what we did in our first films in their programming. I'm sure that they borrowed and used some of the, I'm sure they've been inspired by some of the stuff we've done in our first three films. And it's funny because we sell the DVDs and we get the orders here at the house sometimes, And my partner tells me, hey, look at this name. And we'll Google it. And it's like literally the creator of The Simpsons. Bought a copy of Armory right from it. Or, you know, the creator of Family Guy. Or, you know, and you know they're doing their research and they're looking for new material and ways for them to get inspired and whatnot.
Yeah.
I just say that we've inspired. I know that the franchise has inspired countless comedians and filmmakers and independent filmmakers since we made the first one. And I'm really excited about the fourth one coming out because Brink Stevens actually wrote, directed, and stars in the fourth one. And Brink Stevens is a very well known scream queen. She is very well known for a movie titled Nightmare Sisters, which was directed by Dave Dakota back in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. And it was a movie that was shot for $5,000 in 3 days. And it was in every Blockbuster and home Hollywood video store in America. And it was a very successful independent film. And she's been in a whole bunch of movies. She was in the original Slumber Party Massacre.
Nice.
And over 200 titles. Over 200. In fact, she just got her 200th title last year, shot in my backyard, in our backyard, for a friend of mine, James Balsamo's movie titled It Wants Blood. And that was her 200th film. And we shot it in our backyard over here. We've made countless movies in our backyard here in the San Fernando Valley. And, you just keep going. I just keep trying to make the world a better place, one movie at a time, you know, and make it a fun place to be with my family and friends here in Hollywood.
Man, you are definitely doing that. I appreciate you coming on here, man. You know you're welcome on here anytime. I don't care what it's for, or when it is. Just
I appreciate that, Brad. And listen, don't be a stranger. Now that we're friends on Facebook, give me a shout out, say hello. And if you're ever in the Los Angeles area or coming out here, let me know in advance so we can get together and have a cup of coffee, have some crazy California food over here. There's some amazing food out here. Come out and try something new. And don't be a stranger. All right?
That'll work, man. I appreciate it a bunch. Right.